Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Roto Experts Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the podcast, we are continuing our trend, our podcast series, previewing fantasy football teams all throughout the league. So far, we have done four teams. We're going through, in case you guys haven't figured out, in an alphabetical order. So we've done the Arizona Cardinals, the Atlanta Falcons, the Buffalo Bills, and the Baltimore Ravens. Now coming up to the Carolina Panthers. Before we get into previewing the Panthers offense, I want to tell you guys about rotoexperts.com. You can get access to the site for $39.99, and actually we are offering 10% off of our NFL 365 package using the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K. You get some of the best projections, rankings, and premium content in the industry, as well as our guide to zero RB drafting and the ultimate guide to winning play draft best ball leagues. I really do think that it is an extremely good value, and I would encourage most of you who are trying to win your leagues to purchase the product. Now, let's go ahead and get into talking about the Carolina Panthers offense. So right away, we start up top with Cam Newton. The biggest issue with Cam Newton for figuring him out for fantasy football in 2019 is Cam Newton going to be healthy? Is his shoulder healthy? He has had off-season shoulder surgery. He has not quite yet returned to throwing. And if he's not healthy, things for this entire offense, not only for Cam, but things for this entire offense, Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, Jarius Wright, Greg Olsen, all of these guys are going to have a much tougher time if Cam Newton is injured. So Newton had one of his worst throwing seasons last year, 24 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, only 7 yards per adjusted attempt, and he did not run the ball quite as often either once he got injured, only 101 rushing attempts and 4 rushing touchdowns, leaving most of the groundwork to Christian McCaffrey. In fact, that is the least amount of rushing attempts that Cam Newton has had since 2016, but he ran for more touchdowns that season and actually missed one game that season as well. So where am I drafting Cam Newton? I'm still drafting him kind of in that 10th, 11th, 12th round range. I still think he's got a very good chance of being a quarterback one in fantasy football because he's one of the few quarterbacks who not only adds points with his arm in what I think has the ability to be a really good passing offense with DJ Moore taking another step and with Curtis Samuel filling in for Devin Funchess, but he also adds the rushing upside. And, you know, we've seen Cam Newton do this a ton of times. 14 rushing touchdowns in 2011, 10 rushing touchdowns in 2015, career average 5.2 yards per carry. You know, he adds like 3 points a game with his legs and more when you account for the touchdown equity. He's just a really good runner. He's probably one of the best goal line backs in, you know, football history, really. He's so good at getting those 2 yards when Carolina needs it. The thing I would caution you, especially in weekly management leagues, is just pay really close attention to what the reports are out of Carolina about his arm strength, about his shoulder, because if he's having complications with the shoulder, if his arm strength does not seem to be coming back, that's obviously not a very good sign. But I'm not scared about drafting him. You know, I think I probably have him as my quarterback 9 in redraft leagues, and I'm not scared of him in dynasty formats either, because when Cam Newton is playing, when Cam Newton is healthy, he's absolutely one of the very best assets that we can have in fantasy football. The backups on the roster right now, Tyler Heinicke and Kyle Allen are still on the roster, but pretty clearly Carolina wants Will Greer to be their backup quarterback / quarterback of the future. Greer was a pretty good prospect at West Virginia. I think some people thought he would be drafted maybe a little bit higher than he was, maybe drafted as a starter, but now the Panthers have a little bit to work with at the quarterback position. They have someone that they can actually develop and maybe turn into someone worth trading or worth holding on until they're ready to start, as opposed to the sort of, you know, Tyler Heinicke, Kyle Allen, Garrett Gilbert style backups that they've had in the past, you know, guys just who are not very good. The running back position, what do you guys want me to say? Christian McCaffrey led the NFL in snaps last year. He had 124 targets, 219 rushing attempts. He had 1,098 rushing yards. He had 107 receptions, 867 yards, 13 total touchdowns. Do I think he'll see 326 touches this year? Probably not. I think they probably will want to scale him back a little bit, but the fact that they know they can use him as an every down back is pretty encouraging. I'm sure he will have a lot of games in 2019 where he is an every down back, probably a lot of competitive games, maybe those divisional games against the Falcons and the Saints and the Buccaneers, you know, those the games that we would think are going to be pretty high scoring. However, in games where they're pretty heavily favored, would not be surprising to me to see a little bit more of Cameron Artis Payne, maybe a little bit of Jordan Scarlett, maybe a little Elijah Holyfield. They could even keep Elijah Hood on the roster. And then they have, you know, their fullback running back combo, Alex Arma and Reggie Bonifon. I don't really see anyone in this backfield other than McCaffrey getting more than maybe 50 total touches, though. McCaffrey is just so much a part of what they do. He's a big part of their offensive identity. Last year, he had 219 carries. Cam Newton had 101, and C.J. Anderson had 24. Cameron Artis Payne had 19. And then D.J. Moore was fifth on the team in carries with 13. And I think that's actually probably something that they will bring more into their offense this year, is carries from DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, because this offense is going to work at its best in a really creative way. Cam Newton is a good quarterback, but he's not a stereotypical quarterback, and the same is true for Christian McCaffrey. You don't want to just run Christian McCaffrey through the tackles. You don't want to do to him what the Arizona Cardinals did to David Johnson last year, which is, you know, you take this really good running back who's a little bit on the small side, but a really good pass catcher and really fast. You don't want to run that guy, you know, you don't want to do Mike Davis runs with Christian McCaffrey. So I think it's possible that McCaffrey's attempt numbers stay the same. Like, I think averaging 13.7 rush attempts per game, that actually seems like a pretty reasonable projection to me. I think what might be different, and actually I would be betting on this to be different, is he probably shades down from 7 targets a game to like 6.5 targets per game, because they those numbers were wrong. That's my bad. I was looking at his yards per target rather. But I think what it's very possible to happen is his role in the passing game stays the same, but just scales back a little bit. So he's running a very similar style of route. He's running a very similar overall game plan on offense, but instead of 82 targets for DJ Moore, that's more like 120. Instead of 60 targets for Curtis Samuel, that's more like 110. Instead of, 65 combined targets between Ian Thomas and Greg Olsen, that's more like 85 or 90. And I think overall, is Christian McCaffrey still one of the 4 best running backs in fantasy? Yeah, he definitely is. There should be no shadow of a doubt in your mind about taking McCaffrey that high. But I do think arguments that Elliott should go over him, that's the way I personally have them ranked. I have Elliott 1, McCaffrey 2, Barkley 3, Kamara 4. And I think, though, I feel pretty certain that I have the order correctly. So now we need to talk about the pass catchers. The starting wide receivers for Carolina are very likely to be DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, and I actually think Chris Hogan is going to beat out Jarius Rice, Aldrick Robertson, Torrey Smith, Rashad Ross for that rotational third wide receiver role. We would probably expect Carolina to run a lot of 11 personnel this year, kind of the way, you know, most NFL teams are running a lot of 11 personnel, and that's probably their best set as well, unless they really want to get Greg Olsen and Ian Thomas out on the field together at the same time, though Ian Thomas is hurt right now and might not be ready for training camp. At the wide receiver position, DJ Moore, very clear value for me when you can get him in the 6th round and even in the 5th round. If you look at DJ Moore's historical comparables, they are all fantastic. Basically, if you're looking at wide receivers who were able to see over 80 targets, over 750 yards, and were over 14 yards per reception, you're looking at like Josh Gordon, Randy Moss, Juju Smith-Schuster, like they're all like crazy good players. The one weird thing about DJ Moore's rookie profile that is not matched by those other rookies is he had only 2 touchdown receptions in 16 games and in 10 starts. That's not a death knell, just because we know that touchdowns are pretty highly variant, but maybe it is just something to think about. Maybe the Carolina Panthers offense uses Christian McCaffrey, uses Curtis Samuel, uses Greg Olsen, uses Ian Thomas in such a way that DJ Moore is going to be sort of similar to Julio Jones, where he's really their top option, between the 20s, but then when they get into the red zone, he sort of takes a step back. I'm not buying that as of right now. You know, we have only one season of evidence to suggest that Moore doesn't create touchdowns, whereas he was a big touchdown creator in college. And that's really one of the big reasons why I am so high on DJ Moore, is he was really an elite college prospect drafted in the first round. I mean, this is what second-year rookie breakout wide receivers look like. They look like DJ Moore, and there's some talking at a camp between him and Curtis Samuel where they say, you know, we're not sure who the wide receiver one is. We're not sure who's going to see the most targets. And I think it's pretty easy to say that thing in training camp, especially because I think Curtis Samuel is the type of player that's going to look pretty good in training camp. He's going to be able to run the trick plays. He runs really crisp routes. He's not being covered by guys who are trying super hard, or not being covered by guys who are faster than him or bigger than him. And when that starts to happen in the regular season, I think we will start to see a separation where DJ Moore is just more open and more efficient than Curtis Samuel. Now, that being said, of course, we still like Curtis Samuel. You know, we are buying on the Carolina offense. Cam Newton, when healthy, is an elite quarterback who can average 7.5, 8 adjusted yards per attempt. He can push the ball down the field. He can make the short throws. He can make the intermediate throws. Really, this is a good NFL offense when Cam Newton is healthy, especially when Carolina plays with the lead. Cam Newton is a much different quarterback when Carolina is playing with the lead as opposed to playing from behind. But very optimistic on both Moore and Samuel, also because we expect this to be a pretty narrow offense. Last year, they had 9 players with 30 or more targets. I really don't know if we would be expecting that to happen this year. You know, Torrey Smith probably doesn't get to 31 targets. Jarius Wright probably doesn't get to 60 targets. I think it's much more likely that about 65 to 70% of the team's total targets just go to the three guys, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel, with Greg Olsen taking up a big chunk of the rest of that, and then when or if he gets hurt, Ian Thomas taking over that role from him. And Ian Thomas might have a little bit of a week-to-week role. So I guess we should talk a little bit about the third wide receiver job here in Carolina. I don't expect it to be very fantasy meaningful, but Chris Hogan is a good NFL player. He did not play very well for New England last year, but he has very good signs of being good in the past. Like, we do just know that to be true. Is he going to be anything more than like a rotational deep threat in Carolina? Probably not, but if that's something that we see in the first couple weeks of the season, that Chris Hogan or Torrey Smith or Jarius Wright, they have like a real role because this team is adjusting to life without Devin Funchess with a full offseason now, I think that that's something worth noticing and would maybe be worth a waiver wire add. Now, finally, looking at the tight end position, there are only two guys here who are fantasy relevant, Greg Olsen and Ian Thomas. When Greg Olsen is healthy, he is going to be an every down player for this team. He had 38 targets in 9 games last year. Ian Thomas had 49 targets in 16 games and 6 starts. Thomas basically filled in straight up as a starter when Greg Olsen left, and then was still playing a little bit when Olsen came back from his injury. Olsen hurt his foot. Now, Olsen was considering retiring over the offseason, so that's definitely having a big impact on his ADP right now. People are like, you know, he might not play, he might be hurt, you know, all this bad stuff. But I like Olsen a lot as my second tight end in these play draft best balls, although when I take him, I do often take 3 tight ends simply because I don't really think you can count on 16 healthy games from him at this point, but he definitely is someone I'm making an active attempt to invest in, and he's someone I would feel comfortable with as my sole tight end in like a 12 or 14 team PPR league, getting him 13th, 14th, 15th round, and just knowing, okay, if he gets hurt, then I'm streaming tight ends. So that is probably going to do it for us here today with our Carolina Panthers fantasy football team preview. I hope that you guys are enjoying this series as much as I am enjoying giving it to you. If you are enjoying it, make sure to check out the NFL 365 package on rotoexperts.com. You can get all of the projections associated with these players. You can see where I have all of them ranked. You can play with our best ball tools, and you can do all the research that you need to win best balls or to win your seasonal leagues. And we will be back tomorrow with yet another preview.